Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you? Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium on opening day 2018. A matchup of the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans.
Miller to his right out of the gun, and Miller drops it. The Patriots recover.
They got it.
Hightower was there along with Kyle Van Noy, and Deshaun Watson never completed the exchange.
That's on the quarterback.
Go Patriots.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon.
Tight end looks pretty darn good to me.
Deshaun Watson goes down. Watson, he stands in a pocket and he's in goal.
Yes.
That is going to be intercepted by Gilmore. Gilmore with a touchback. Check the snap to Brady. Fires to the right for Gronkowski. Makes the catch up the seam. And this time he holds on. Tackled by Cunningham from behind in Houston territory at the Texan 46. Jones and Jonathan has it.
My God, Ryan Allen. Belichick's going to replay this play 25 times.
Brady looks to the back of the end zone. For Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots.
Dagger. An absolute dagger to the Texans. It's like you're playing chess while other teams play checkers.
Touchdown, Patriots! Watson takes the snap, gets in the pocket, dancing around. He rolls to his right. He pulls up. He launches downfield, well short of the end zone. That ball's going to come down and knocked away at the 15-yard line. Incomplete. And time has run out on this season opener as the Patriots run off the far sideline with a 27-20 victory over the Texans.
He can only throw that ball 50 yards. That's unreal.
But it's official. The Patriots are 1-0.
The '70s were happening. 985, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Hey, football's back.
Wow.
Yesterday made up for the garbage that was Thursday night. What an unbelievable day of football. There were about four or five games that you're going to look back upon and just go, man, that was one of the, I mean, from last night's, if you stayed up, and I know you did because I saw you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I know Wallach went to sleep.
He's
not a real sports fan.
Wrong. You would be wrong.
So you watched the entire Packers game?
I watched the entire Red Sox game, my friend.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I watched the entire Red Sox game. Packers. Red Sox, baby.
You watched what you saw, first of all, the Red Sox got gifted that win. I think we all agree because of that controversial call. They were gifted that
win.
But you,
Altuve was safe. Sure he was.
But you missed a phenomenal comeback.
No.
Aaron Rodgers playing on one leg.
I was flipping back and forth. What had happened was after Rodgers got hurt the first time, you like clicked that off. I don't have to worry about that. And then I was telling Jones this before we came on the air. I got a text message that said, he's effing coming back in the game.
Yeah.
And then I switched it back over and then things started.
It was Paul Pierce's wheelchair game.
Yes.
he came back out and it was unbelievable last night. And on top of that, hey, John Gruden, great job with the Khalil Mack trade. Great job. He was an absolute monster last night. And you know what? I'm sure he relished every single minute of it. Also, you had some other games that were phenomenal. We're going to get into one in a couple of minutes. But first, we have Adam Jones with us filling in for Fred today. We're going to have Mike Flynn in studio with us at 7 o'clock. Starting next week, we'll have a special guest in studio with us from 7 to 8 the day after every game. We'll announce it a little bit later on in the show. However, there was something that returned, which I had hoped would be gone forever after last season. The chirp was back. The CBS NFL football chirp that happens with every single replay that Adam Jones is giving me a face like he doesn't know what it is. Once I play you what that is,
I'm going to know.
You're never going to not be able to hear it.
Huh.
I can't tell you how many tweets of angry listeners I had yesterday because it was actually Fred, the first one on the show, who said, are you guys hearing a weird chirp every time there's a replay on CBS? And I didn't know what he was talking about. And then we went and started playing some of the clips. And sure enough, it sounds like a bird, like got stuck in your house. There's like a cricket or something like this. And once you hear it, you can't ever unhear it.
Oh, no.
And it will drive you insane like it did yesterday. Bird's like nodding his head. Did it drive you crazy? Okay, once you know that it's there, it will drive you insane.
Huh.
So get ready because there's a lot of CBS games this year. You are going to hear it over and over and over again.
I'm already annoyed enough by Romo. Now I got the the chirping in my ear with every replay too.
I don't know if I'm just kind of getting used to Romo, but he didn't really bother me as much yesterday.
It didn't do any moaning and groaning when he was looking at replays. You know, didn't do any of that yesterday, right? He was very good.
Yeah, I don't know that he was very good. There wasn't a lot of moaning and groaning though.
No.
I would say that. There was something he was doing that was, he was starting to really get into, was it the play calling? He was like, oh, I can't believe they're running I formation here in the 2-minute warning right before, like he was getting a little too jazzed up about that. But no, he was a mild Romo. He wasn't quite in midseason.
All right. If you have not heard the chirp before, or you have heard it, if you've watched the game, you've heard it. But if you've not realized what it is, Dan, play that please.
And he gets flagged.
You hear that?
I definitely just heard it there. Yeah.
Let me hear it one more time, Dan, if you don't mind.
And he gets flagged. You see the frustration coming out.
Well, that's a little more extreme version of it.
You concentrate enough, you can, you know.
It is. Why have they not gotten rid of that? And it's got to be some sort of subliminal thing that they did research on. Like that gets you to turn your heads or get.
Has to be, right?
And he gets flagged.
I mean, that'll drive you mad. And they do it, obviously, every time they replay it. So, I mean, how many, 100 times a game?
Yeah, maybe more.
Maybe even more than that. I mean, I thought it would be gone and all of our listeners, and I apologize to you. It wasn't me that discovered it. It was Fred. But once it's there, you can never get rid of it in your head.
Wait,
you'll
so
hear it every single time.
How did he find it? Was it you guys were like playing highlights and he noticed it? Or
noticed
it watching it on TV?
Fred just came in one morning and he's like, am I the only one that realizes every time they have a replay that they play this really annoying chirping sound?
Then he rewound his TV, I think. He was watching it, and it was driving him crazy. But it's funny, Rich, the day you said it, we were just talking about it here. Nobody heard it until Fred brought it up and brought it to our attention.
Yeah.
No one else realized it, you know, until he said it.
There was one guy who called in, and he actually went looking around his house because he thought there was some sort of, like, animal or something, or like a...
And he gets flagged.
Like, it almost, like, sounds like a sound... a rodent, like a raccoon or something would make?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Like maybe that was stuck in your vent?
Yeah, like peeking out of your garbage?
Right. And there to mess with you. So, I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over it yesterday. It was nuts. And how about the Bankroll Boys, ladies and gentlemen? How about Dan Lifshatz sitting here in studio on Friday saying, you know what? This might sound like a weird bet, but I think that Cleveland's going to beat the Steelers outright. I think they're going to
not just cover, but outright.
He said, "I think they're going to beat them outright," and I laughed at him. And I called the hot take police on him, and I mocked him, and I laughed at him. But I did say that is such a ridiculous call that I am actually going to bet Cleveland outright, because if it does happen, it's going to be hysterical. So I like put $50 on the game. And what was awesome was after the Patriots game was over, they showed the Cleveland tie things up. And then when it went to overtime, they said, oh, sorry, we don't have the rights to the rest of the game, so we can't show it. So I go to the NFL Network, and it's not there. And
Perfect. This is why you have an NFL Sunday ticket, my friend.
Yeah, and I don't have the Sunday ticket.
Great.
So I went online trying to watch it. No, so I sat there on the app, you know, the one that refreshes, and it's got the little chart with the stupid ball.
I would have periscoped it for you. All you had to do was call.
Oh, like a dumbass. I'm sitting there. and they played the entire overtime.
Yeah.
So it was like maybe 20 minutes, 20 minutes. Like, with like all the stoppage and play, it was probably about 20-25 minutes. I'm looking at my phone and watching it refresh play after play after play like a dumbass.
Wait, so do you not have Red Zone?
You know what? I don't have Red Zone.
So I mean, Red Zone was in and out on it, but they did a lot of coverage on it. I don't have the Sunday ticket either, but yeah, did the app give you a good picture of all the missed field goals and like Hugh Jackson's blank stare when they couldn't get the victory? Did it do that for you?
After it was over, I watched all the highlights. Yeah. And I was reading it on my phone, and then I went and I watched the highlights, and it was just, is that the ultimate way for Cleveland? Cleveland ends up, the game ends up tying, which is unbelievable. So Cleveland ends up killing their losing streak by not winning.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of, now I did see a bunch of videos of people gathered around those special Bud Light refrigerators.
See if it would unlock.
Waiting,
I don't think it
for
unlocks
it
for a tie.
Up, and it didn't unlock.
No, it doesn't unlock for a tie. So stays locked.
All right, such a shame.
Let's go to Michael on line one. Michael, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say thank you about that chirping noise, because I thought that I had bats in my attic. And I was looking inside my fireplace, and I went up into my attic. I was supposed to call my wife and tell her maybe I should call Terminex, because I did not know where that noise was coming from. If I had crickets, what was going on? So a relief that it wasn't what I thought it was, but I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was going crazy.
Yeah, no, you're not the only one. And
he gets flagged. You can see the frustration coming out.
I mean, at some point, they got to stop that. And yeah. I want the world to know about it, so everyone complains.
I didn't know about it till this morning.
Yeah, I want everyone to know, so CBS just gets inundated with, stop it. What are you doing? And there's so much of an uproar that they'll get rid of it, almost like, you know, back with the NHL when they would have the thing that chased the puck.
Yeah.
We're going to make your broadcast experience better. And it ended up backfiring on them. Maybe they'll do that with the new Green Zone that they have on Fox, which is like, why do you need that? You have the yellow line still, right? They haven't gotten rid of that.
Nope, yellow line's still there.
Okay, so
line of scrimmage is still there, white line.
Why do you need the green zone?
I think it adds a lot to the broadcast. No, you can see kind of a different area, a shaded area when you need like 8 yards.
Right.
Maybe if you need like 6 yards, I think it really helps drive it home.
Yeah, I just love collars, more collars. So let's get to the Patriots game. We will do that right after all this. We've a lot to talk about, a lot of stories about the Patriots breaking over the weekend. Some stuff that we maybe kind of thought were like the stories that we kind of knew the information on, but they were confirmed with Josh McDaniels, Rob Gronkowski with his contract situation, his threatening to retire. We got a ton of info on that and so much more. We'll get to that right after this.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What 98.5 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. And what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes today. No purchase necessary, 13 plus, ends October 15th or while supplies last. For a game, piece, and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. You ever hear that yarn about visiting teams crapping themselves the second they get off the bus at Gillette? Yep.
Miller to his right out of the gun, and Miller drops it. The Patriots recover.
They got it.
Hightower was there along with Kyle Van Noy. And Lamar Miller and Deshaun Watson never completed the exchange. It's Dante Hightower back among the active ranks on the recovery.
Terrible job by Deshaun Watson.
And that's where it would all start. Outclassed, outcoached, outplayed. Houston was lost from the get-go in the Patriots' 27-20 win over the Texans that wasn't even that close. And for all of us that were wondering if Brady to Gronk was still going to be alive, and well, it took under 4 minutes to answer that.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown, Patriots!
What'd I say? Where's your tight end at?
Well, Gronk was a monster. 7 catches for 123 yards, but we already knew his relationship with Brady was cute and cuddly. Hell, this offseason was essentially a love letter to Brady, telling the front office that he didn't want to catch passes or loving glances from anyone but Brady. And we knew that Brady and James White were going to work like old times, but it looks like number 12 might have a new buddy to get him all tingly.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Drops back. Looks to the back of the end zone. For Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots!
Dagger. An absolute dagger to the Texans, who mismanaged the middle of the field, and they had it there with 2 minutes left. You kick it away to Brady and company. You get it going in a run game, and now you got this guy starting to step up and make plays in a passing game like Philip Dorsett.
It's kind of early in the game to use the word dagger, don't you think?
Yeah.
What quarter? Was Dorsett second or third quarter?
That was right before
third,
halftime.
Yeah. Okay. It was the third TD catch, but that was the third Brady TD pass, but that was in the second quarter.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I don't think you are officially allowed to use the word dagger in the
Phil
first
O'Brien
half.
Phil O'Brien coaching on the other side, though, so they're so conservative and so buttoned down.
21-6, but still a lot of time left.
Sure. Well, Philip Dorsett, you, sir, are on your way to being in Tom Brady's special inner circle, a place that Chad Ochocinco and Eric Decker never got an invite to. 7 catches for 66 yards, and it looked like he was comfortable most of the day. Someone who looked uncomfortable most of the night, however, was Deshaun Watson.
Third down and 10 from the 17, an empty set. Snap to Watson, 4-man rush. He's pressured, and he's sacked. Deshaun Watson goes down, brought to the turf, back at the 25-yard line. Dietrich Wise.
I'm sorry, it's early in the game, and it's early in the season. But Deshaun Watson is not seeing things well.
All right, so he was sacked 3 times and picked off once. And I was watching the game. Let me get your opinion on this. I don't know if Deshaun just held on the ball too long or whether his number one and number two options were just that well covered by the Patriots. One thing I do know, however, that's got to be one of the worst offensive lines I've seen in a long time.
Well, 4 of the 5 guys are new from last year, right? The center is the only guy back, Jones, from last year.
I don't even know. I know
4 of the 5 guys are new. New left tackle, new left guard, new right guard, new right tackle.
And they lost their right tackle midway through the game, right?
Their starting right tackle, right, who was already new. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so he was just getting mangled the entire game. On top of that, I mean, I don't know what people were expecting for a guy coming back in his first game after his injury. However, boy, he just looks like he looks completely lost out there.
I was expecting more than that. I mean, I expected maybe a little bit of rust, but I did not expect what we saw in the first half yesterday, where you're right. He started Harmon said something about this after the game, where the more the Patriots pressured him and hit him, and I'm surprised, only 3 sacks, you know, only the one pick in that game. It certainly felt like more pressure on Watson throughout the game. You know, he starts taking his eyes off downfield. He starts panicking a little bit in the pocket, or at least, you know, looking at where the rush is coming from instead of his receivers getting open. Unlike last year where, you know, they were all around him, but he had his eyes up downfield and he made big plays downfield in a game the Patriots ultimately won. But Watson looked great. I expected more out of him. I expected some rust, but I did not expect him to look like that. That was a bad performance.
Well, how many times did the Patriots contain him as well? You mentioned how elusive he is, and how badly did he hurt the Patriots with his feet early last year? He didn't get those chances. He ran for 1 first down on a 3rd that I can remember. I mean, check me if I'm wrong, but give the Patriots pass rush a lot of credit there. I mean, a lot of people had been criticizing it during the preseason But yeah, Dietrich Wise was great, and so was Trey Flowers.
And am I misremembering Deshaun Watson last year? I thought he had a cannon. Like, I thought that was anyone else shocked at that final play?
Yes, yes.
That he got to like the 10-yard line?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was like 10, 15 yards short. And I thought that Deshaun Watson was one of these guys that just like could like had a cannon.
He did.
And for some reason, I don't know, he looks off. And I understand that, you know, it's going to take a few games probably for him to get his confidence back after his injury. But the bad play calling from Bill O'Brien doesn't help either.
He stinks.
I'm getting to the point where I'm looking at Bill O'Brien, and I was one of these people that I wanted Bill O'Brien to be the successor to Bill Belichick. I thought that this guy had everything. You know, ever since the moment he stood up to Tom Brady, I'm like, all right, this is good. This guy's got a little bit of balls. He's not afraid of star players. And I even liked kind of like some of the stuff I saw in Hard Knocks. He just seems like a player's coach, but also a guy who also rules with authority and doesn't get walked over. However, I'm starting to think he's wildly overrated.
I mean,
the more I think about it, and just think of the talent that he's had to work with, and still, look what he's. What's the sum of his work with the Houston Texans?
Yeah, a bunch of 9-7 seasons. Think about every time they play the Patriots, and maybe throw out the game where Jacoby Brissett started, because that was different and that was embarrassing in its own right.
Sure.
Like the playoff game 2 years ago, the regular season game last year, yesterday. He's as conservative as they come. For a guy who was regarded as an offensive mind and an outside-the-box offensive mind and someone that Belichick earlier this week was throwing verbal bouquets at for, hey, oh, he'll get the most out of his talent. He'll figure out ways to get his best weapons involved. He's the king of uber conservatism. Yesterday, they kicked an extra point instead of going for two. Mm-hmm. They're taking forever on these drives where you're like, guys, you're running out of time. It's the fourth quarter. There's 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Show a little urgency.
It's also decision-making, too.
Yeah, that starts with the coach.
Instead of kicking, I'm agreeing with you, instead of kicking the field goal at the beginning of the game, he goes for it. Instead of keeping his head on straight and calling a timeout on that Rob Gronkowski non-catch, he didn't.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I mean, he completely crapped the bed there.
Well, punting, the one McCarron ended up muffing. Remember, instead of going for it at that point, how many minutes were left in the game?
Yeah, the Patriots at that point were trying to keep them in the game.
Yep.
Trying to keep them in the game. You're right. It wasn't a 27-20 game. It was a 34-10 game, basically.
Yep.
Riley McCarron, and by the way, the first thing I thought of was Chris Harper in Denver when he fumbled that punt.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, Houston was given a lot of opportunities to climb back into that game when they were down 24-6. And O'Brien's the reason they didn't do it.
Well, let's get to the one thing that really pissed off Bill O'Brien in postgame, and that is being questioned about this. This was the Rob Gronkowski catch from yesterday.
Splits back with Brady dropping back from the gun. A lot of time. Throws it down the right side for Gronk. Double covered. Lays out and somehow makes the catch initially. The ball came free at the end, but he caught it. It was knocked out of his hands when he was on the ground. And what another sensational play by Rob Gronkowski. It never gets old. Ball pinned against his helmet. In his hands,
he slides
on the turf.
Nice.
Back for the quick snap. Give to Burkhead. Jim cut right. Carries to the right, and the ball is knocked free. Hogan for the Patriots, seemingly recovering back at the 30. With a helmet knocking the ball out of the hands of Burkhead.
I can't believe Gronkowski caught that ball. And how do you not go back and look at that?
He didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't catch that ball.
He definitely didn't.
I mean, Bill O'Brien, for not to call timeout there, it's a legitimate question, and he was asked it at the post-game press conference, and my man's a little butthurt.
Taking a timeout, hoping he would have gone over.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, great. Yeah, I guess so, John.
You think they blew it?
I don't have any idea, John. I'll have to watch it on tape. That's not my job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier.
Yes, it is.
That's
what I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, down 14-6. You know, I'm not trying to say call a timeout there. They ruled a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So, you know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
I mean, think of the top teams that crap themselves the minute they get off the bus when they come to Gillette. And the Texans have to be at the top.
Yeah, agreed. By the way, I feel a little bit of sympathy for O'Brien on this, and he should have called timeout. Like, absolutely should have called timeout. That is your job to do it. But the refs still that comes from New York. Like the refs can interject and say, "Hey, we're going to take a look at this." Like that's their job in the final 2 minutes.
Well, according to a pool reporter went and talked to the referee whose name escapes
Corrente.
Corrente, yes, who talked to Corrente after the game, and Corrente said New York did get back to us, but by then it was too late.
Right.
I mean, Brady went so fast, New York couldn't get there.
How?
Couldn't look at it quick enough.
I watched one replay and I knew it wasn't a catch.
Well, obviously. Obviously, but New York.
So what took so long, New York?
So I
feel Bill O'Brien's pain on
no,
that.
No, I understand
bit.
It. Well, you feel Bill O'Brien's pain, but at the same time.
No, you have to call a timeout. I acknowledge that.
But O'Brien's excuse of, well, we give the Patriots time to set up the offense. Yeah, you're currently getting punched off the field play by play. It gives you time to set your damn defense, too, that is getting run past on this drive, and that was huge. Well, 14-6 as opposed to 21-6.
Well, there's Bill O'Brien's version of what happened there, and then there's Rob Gronkowski's version of what happened there.
When I was running up to see him, I was like Vice and two guys on me, and when I saw the ball in the air, I literally thought first thing, like, what is Tom thinking? When that ball was in the air, I had like a guy grabbing me, and I was like, I just gotta go for it. Can't let them make a play on it. So just went up for it, made the catch, and I did make the catch. I don't know how. When I went to the ground, I mean, I had it stabled in my hand. So it was definitely a catch. But Tom went up to the line really quick just to make sure I got the playoff, which was nice. And it was wild.
She's like, what the hell was Tom thinking? Yeah, yeah. Double covered. I mean, it was like, wasn't this touchdown pass also double covered as well? Just it doesn't matter with Rob Gronkowski. It doesn't matter. I just like how he had to keep mentioning it was a catch.
Oh, it was definitely a catch.
Yeah, sure, just want you guys know, okay. It was a catch.
All right. There are two people on this planet who think it was a catch. It was him and Zoe. That's it. No one else thought that was a catch.
I stabled it in my hands.
That's right.
There were horses running everywhere. He's like, man, I got this thing stabled.
God bless Rob Gronkowski. Oh, by the way, Chris Gronkowski on the show this Wednesday.
Oh, you'll great.
Be out with us.
All right.
So he's always a good interview. We like having him on. All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to some other stuff from the game. On top of that, some of the news that broke over the weekend involving Rob Gronkowski and, of course, Josh McDaniels. We're learning stuff that was speculated up to this point, but it now seems to have been confirmed. We'll get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The snap, Allen. Left-footed punt. Pressure-free, in fact. Sails to the far side of the field. It's a good kick at the two. It's a high bounce to Jones, and Jonathan has it at the one.
My God, Ryan Allen. My God. What a kick.
As excited as you can get about a punt, that was pretty awesome. Just sticks it.
Good punt.
I was waiting for someone to ask Bill Belichick about it. I think somebody did. Can we get a word count on his answer? Because if there is a special teams or a question about a punter, Bill Belichick, who usually, of course, is very buttoned up, and although, you know, yesterday he seemed to spill the beans. When he talks about punters, oh, that's his wheelhouse. He licks his chops. But the news over the weekend was interesting because we all know at the after the Super Bowl, Rob Gronkowski was very hesitant when asked about rumors that he was going to retire. He goes, how did you know about that? And he did the whole Instagram little emoji things trying to get you to think that he might actually retire, that he was going to be a movie star. There were the photos that came out of him doing a script reading with The Rock and that he wasn't going to play anymore. Well, now we kind of know the true story about what went down behind the scenes, and I think we kind of all speculated that this was what happened, but Ian Rappaport essentially confirmed it. So Gronkowski eventually agreed to, of course, that rework contract, but it was a pretty close call. Remember, we had Jerry Thornton, our friend Jerry Thornton from Barstool Sports in studio, and it wasn't until Jerry Thornton tweeted something out saying that he had heard that Rob Gronkowski was more than likely going to be traded that I was like, all right. Say what you will about Jerry Thornton, but the guy does have, like, people on the inside.
Yeah, he's plugged in.
He is pretty plugged in. And for him to say that, and he's very pro-Patriot, too, so this was not something, obviously, any Patriots fan wanted to hear. So for him to say that, I was like, there's got to be something there. And remember the next day, just all whoosh, went away, and, oh, everything's fine, everything's great. Well, now we know that, according to Ian Rappaport, there was a deal in place with an unnamed team for Rob Gronkowski. However, Rob Gronkowski, when told about it, said to the Patriots that he would rather retire than play with anyone other than Tom Brady and play here in New England. And to that, the Patriots said, all right, well, and let's try to work something out bonus-wise.
So much for that mega contract we would ever offer you.
But you know what? If you're a Patriots
fan... took all this leverage away.
If you're a Patriots fan, this is the best news ever.
Of course.
He ain't leaving. He don't want to go anywhere but here.
Well, it's kind of good. Like, it's all like flipped on its ear, right? Like, everything we've been talking about for a long time is there's this frustration with the players, with Bill Belichick, right? Mm-hmm. Gronk and Brady, they're frustrated with how things are being handled. And I forgot how Leibovich put it in his book, and it was his words, not Gronk's. But it's like, Foxborough's this monolith, this dreary monolith, or however he put it, right? So Gronk wants to stay here. It's Belichick that wants to get rid of him, right? I mean, if they're trading him or trying to trade him, then the organization is the one shopping him around. So he wants to be here. I don't know the team, or at least Bill wants him here long term. If I'm a fan, I don't know how to feel about that.
In fairness to Bill, Gronk almost left him no choice. After he went up at that press conference with the motorbike thing, I mean, he was essentially mocking Bill Belichick.
Well, and before that, wavering on his future right after the Super Bowl.
But that was just a guy being, immediately after the Super Bowl, I dismiss almost anything anyone says in the days immediately following a huge loss like that. Because everyone's emotional and they're not saying what's on their mind. But when he got up there and, was not showing up for, like, in the weight room or anything like that, yet he was at Gillette Stadium mocking the team, basically just rubbing it in Bill Belichick's face. At that point, if you're Bill Belichick, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to lose the locker room. If I let one of the biggest stars get away with this, then I got to trade him. He obviously is being a diva. Let's get rid of him. And so they have this deal in place, and then Rob Gronkowski goes, no. I'm going to retire. I want to stay with Tom Brady. If you're a Patriots fan, you're like, awesome. He doesn't want to leave. He's going to cause a fit if they end up trying to trade him again. So there you go. You got Rob Gronkowski for the rest of his contract and maybe for another one after that, because he sure as hell doesn't want to leave as long as Tom Brady's here.
What other one is he going to get now, though? I mean, granted, his health, it will knock some of the numbers down, but you put his health on top of him not wanting to leave.
How many years do you have left?
Why would the Patriots?
Two?
Well, there's all of this season and then next year.
Well, that matches up with Brady. So when Brady leaves, he might take Gronk with him.
Maybe so. But what I'm saying is there's not going to be any huge dollars up front. I mean, you wonder why the Patriots only gave him a slight rework to his contract. This is it. They don't have to.
Yep.
They don't have to do a damn thing.
No, you're exactly right.
And I don't mind that approach with Gronk. With Brady, I'm like, it's ridiculous that they're making him, hit all these high level incentives to get paid like Blake Bortles.
Watched Sam Bradford yesterday just crap all over himself. That dude makes $20 million a year, and Tom Brady's scraping by to be able to make that amount.
Watch this coming Sunday. It's Bortles and it's Brady, and if Brady hits every incentive, he'll get paid like the guy on the other side of the field. So I think the Brady contract is absurd. He plays every game when he's not suspended. He plays every single game. He's out there every week. He's the MVP. Like, Gronk, to me, makes more sense. The guy has trouble staying healthy. So I don't mind that approach with Gronk, but I'm just curious how fans feel that Bill wanted to get rid of him. Like, are you on board with Bill Trey? And it's not the first time we've talked about it. Like you said, it's been out there, but Rappaport sort of adds a little more, in my opinion, weight to it. Are you okay with Bill shopping a generational talent like that? How do you feel about that decision?
Maybe he was scaring him into shape. Maybe just by calling and letting Rob Gronkowski know that I got a deal ready to go, dude, and we're going to trade you.
You can't
playing chess. Well, Gronk's playing checkers. Well, Gronk's playing hungry hippos. Yeah,
Gronk's playing dirt bike is what he's doing.
So here is Rob Gronkowski, who was asked about that report from over the weekend.
There were reports before the game today that you made it clear to the Patriots in the offseason you wanted to play with the Patriots. Can you comment on that? And also, is that sort of the same as your thoughts after the Super Bowl when you said you were uncertain about your future? How does all that come together?
I was wondering why they asked me that on the field right after the game. I was like, "What? Where is this coming from again?" No, I'm glad to be here, glad to be part of this team, glad to be part of this organization. And all that talk, all that stuff, I mean, I would love to put it in the past, whatever it is, whatever reports keep coming out, because I'm here. I'm here to stay, and I'm here to keep playing ball with the Patriots and just enjoying my time here.
Good. I love it. It's excellent. Yeah. But does that make you worried, however, that when both of their contracts are up, the two of them are pretty much tied together, Brady and Gronk, and you know that Brady's going to want to take Gronk, as long as Gronk continues, if he stays healthy, Brady's going to want to take Gronk with him wherever he goes.
It's year to year with Gronk anyway, considering his health. I mean, honestly,
and that's right. 2 years.
We thought about that before all this came out. Anyway, You get two more years out of Gronkowski?
Yeah, you're doing good.
I thought you'd be doing real good.
What was the worst lie out of Gronk? That he caught it or that he doesn't know where the reports are coming from?
Oh, that he caught it.
He's like, oh, wait.
I think he honestly has no idea. I'm not kidding you. Like, I honestly think that he just has been oblivious. He's been playing with a Rubik's Cube.
He doesn't know where the reports are coming from that he wanted, that he demanded that he'd stay here or he'd retire.
No, it was why it was being brought back up. That's what he said. It wasn't that there was a report that it was out there.
He didn't deny it. He's wondering why it's
being brought back up again.
Why is it back in the news? Because you said it, Gronk.
Yeah, but a long time ago. Since then, since the report, the new one came out, as I said, he was probably, you know, playing Fortnite or something like that, just, you know, or I don't know, playing with a Rubik's Cube, who knows. But all I know is that Rob Gronkowski, this is a great thing if you're a Patriots fan. He loves this team. He loves Tom Brady, doesn't want to go anywhere else. The team's not going to trade him because he won't play. So God bless the guy. And he's made enough money to where he doesn't have to play. I think he's completely satisfied. I think he realizes that if for some reason that was to ever happen, he feels completely confident in just saying, I'm done, I'm out, I don't need any more of this.
Well, and you brought up the idea that maybe they could ride off somewhere else after 2019. I don't know, given the report on Josh McDaniels, maybe both Brady and Gronk just think they're going to outlast Bill here.
So that's the thing. So Josh McDaniels, that was another thing that came out. And once again, speculated for several months now. But, you know, as the story goes, shortly after accepting the Colts job on February 6th, McDaniels had that meeting with Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. And it was that meeting where he said he wanted to stay in New England. And the way that they convinced him to stay, according to, once again, Ian Rappaport, they said, we're going to offer you head coach money and a five-year deal that makes him the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, the exact terms of the deal aren't known, but I guess Ian Rappaport said that he's going to be getting at least $4 million for at least one season on the deal. And that is huge money for an offensive coordinator. Huge money. So let's go to Jonathan on line two. Jonathan, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, yeah, you guys talking about Brady and Gronk being tied together and Gronk not wanting to play with another quarterback. It's actually literally Brady, not the Patriots. He faked an injury when Garoppolo started during Brady's suspension. He didn't come back until Brady took the field in week five.
So you think he faked that injury?
I have loose inside sources says that.
Oh, loose inside sources.
I like loose inside sources.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like tied into anybody, but I got someone who knows that he was not looking forward to playing with a quarterback other than Garoppolo because he was afraid that he'd get a buddy pass.
You know, I remember that. No, I remember something, the talk while Gronk was out and Jacoby Brissett, for example, I think that was week three against Houston. Said, I'm not going over the middle when Brissett floats one there.
Is it worth not questioning it now that we know that? I think it's worth just at least throwing it out there. I like his loose inside sources. Yeah. They're the best kind of sources. I
love loose inside sources.
Better than any source I have.
So I mean, what does that say to you about the future of Bill Belichick? That they guaranteed him 5 years, head coach money to stay here. And when that happened, I even told Fred. I mean, you know, Fred was crapping all over him, and it was a pretty much a dick move what he did to those coordinators who ended up going to the Colts and signed contracts and everything, and they decided to stay. But I was like, there's only reason he's staying is I guarantee you they're essentially giving him head coach money. And on top of that, almost a nod and a wink that you are going to be the successor to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think they did all that. I wonder if they could give him a timeline. Like, that's what I wonder about. But I think they told him he's the next guy, whether that's a year from now or 5 years ago from now. I don't know if he knows that.
Belichick has always been quoted as saying, and I don't know, maybe it's when he went into the Hall of Fame, I don't want to hang around as long as Marv Levy did. I don't know how Marv Levy did this. And Levy coached into his 70s, mm-hmm. 71, 72. How old's Bill? 65?
66.
I mean, not that this is shocking news, but the end is near here. He's not going another 10 years.
Do you think before he signed the contract, Robert Kraft said, and I don't want you pulling any of this, I'm going to another team crap. This is you are loyal to us for five
years. No more interviews.
No more interviews. And I wonder if
no, if that's you can't pull the stuff that he just pulled, get a five-year contract and be interviewing somewhere else in January or February. I agree. You can't do that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can actually put that in writing.
Not that any other team would take a risk at interviewing him again.
Sure they would. Sure they would. I still think that he could get a head coaching job even after that stunt he pulled, without a doubt.
I don't know.
Look at the bad head coaches that are out there.
I understand there are bad head coaches, but there aren't many that accept jobs and back out at the last minute either.
Mm-hmm. All right. There is a certain player who is begging to be on the Patriots, and he begged even more so yesterday via Twitter. We will get to that right after this.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
You gotta put a lot of love in it when you make the meatballs.
All the meatballs look like.
Is this a meatball or a marble, for God's sake?
Nick very upset on Twitter this weekend. He goes, all these years in radio, and all of a sudden my dad's a bigger star than I am.
And he's right.
You don't know how many times this weekend I said,
you gotta put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
I actually, you know, it's funny. I'm not kidding you. So we had spaghetti last night, and I told my wife, I said, you know what the number one ingredient in meatballs is? And she goes, what? I said, love. That is right, Mr. Gemelli. Mark Gemelli, who is obviously fantastic. 617-779-0985. We're still kind of picking at what happened during yesterday's game. We'll have Mike Flynn in studio with us in just a second. But here comes the guy whose head just keeps popping out of a hole and going, hey, look, somebody sign me, please. However, I want $7 million a year. That would be Dez Bryant. And Dez Bryant yesterday had a tweet shot his way that said, please come back. Please call Jerry first thing Monday. And to that, Dez Bryant replied, no, I'm okay. I'd rather go somewhere I can showcase my skills for real. If I line up next to Gronk, Hogan, Edelman, I'm for sure getting a one-on-one matchup. Plus, I won't be getting criticized, controlled for expressing my love for the game. Washington's cool as well. Just thought he'd throw that out there. And
Alex Smith in the same paragraph?
Apparently so. I've been on team tryout Dez Bryant for a while just because I think it would be fun to see a little bit of chaos. You know, it shakes things up.
He won't get criticized? Is that part of the sentence there?
Yeah.
Well, if he comes here?
I just kind of wanted to go, excuse me,
beautiful.
Back of the room, I would like to ask you a question. How is it that you see Bill Belichick and think that you won't get criticized?
By the coaching staff or the fans.
Yeah, what is it about everything you know about this coaching staff that makes you think that they're just going to let you do what you want to do and you won't get criticized? But, I mean, you know, honestly, you know, at least there's a little bit of chemistry building with Dorsett. But outside of that, yeah, garbage.
I mean,
garbage.
You like Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like Riley McCarron yesterday?
See, but that's the
Chad Hansen, who they just claimed, who can't get on the field. Like, I would like to see them take a flyer on Dez Bryant. Like you just said, forget the flyer. You can't bring the guy in for a workout?
Well, here's why, is that he wants tons of money still. He still wants to get paid like he's the Dez Bryant from a couple years ago.
I believe after week one, contracts are not guaranteed, I believe is the case. So I don't know if that might be more incentive to bring him in now.
All I heard was that when he went to Cleveland, and remember on Hard Knocks he came in and was hey, and he's like, hey, I'm the king of the play. He was just like, you know, finger guns, like, I own this place. I heard that he wanted, was it $7 million?
Yeah, he turned down a monster deal. What was it, 3 for $21 from Baltimore?
He turned down a 2 or 3 year deal from Baltimore for $7 million a year.
That's what it was. And I think Cleveland was willing to give him $5 million.
Yeah.
For a year, I think it was.
$5 million with, I think, some more upward mobility. But yeah, five guaranteed. Yes.
If he's still asking for that, hell no, I don't want him to come here.
Patriots have, what, $5, $6 million under the cap,
yeah,
at least for now?
But you don't blow that on Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant,
I agree.
You say to Dez Bryant, hey, if
five
you want to...
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Like, if you want to take the veteran minimum and get your numbers up and show the world that you can play and not be a pain in the ass to coach, then come on in here. Let's
well,
see
what
he's
we can backed
do.
Himself into a corner now because he turned down that big money from Baltimore. So I'm worth this. If he shows up for the veteran minimum, I mean, from all I'm reading about Dez Bryant, that's a slap in the face. He wouldn't lower himself to do that.
Well, then he's not going to play.
Well, I agree. It's a dumbass move. This is what he's done to himself.
But listen, if he's willing to take, let's say he's willing to take $2 million, I still think that the Patriots should go in. Like, if he's willing to take, like, make a massive pay cut, it's worth it. Because you got garbage outside of, Dorsett was good yesterday. After that, you got nothing.
A guy who has no experience, even remote experience in this offense, cannot hope to make any kind of impact at all.
But it'd be fun.
It'd be great. It'd be great for us.
Oh, sure.
But as far as Dez Bryant succeeding in this offense.
Wait a minute. Well, who cares if he doesn't know the offense? It's Cordarrelle Patterson and Riley McCarron. He's not worse than those guys.
I understand that, but they're handing the ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson and having him field kickoffs.
We will get to all this after the headlines. And then, of course, Mike Flynn, the great Mike Flynn, will be in studio with us right after the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, the Sports Hub, the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. WBZFM and HD, Boston, a Beasley Media Group Station.